Afternoon, First Light. How are you all doing? Good? Feeling energetic? So for those that don't know me, my name is Sang. I have my beautiful wife there, Anna, and I have my two children, Kieran, who's turning 10 in a couple of weeks' time, and my daughter, Mia, as well. I just want to welcome a couple of friends of ours. I want to welcome the Richards here. They've come to visit. You want to give them a round of applause? And also our brother Edmund here as well, visiting for the second time. You want to give him a clap as well? For those that are new to our First Light congregation, you know, we've been really studying the Word and its application, and we've been going through the Acts of the Apostles. And it's more than just the Acts of the Apostles themselves. It talks about Jesus and what he did and the Holy Spirit and how it moved through the church and the congregation as well. So this afternoon, I have the privilege and honour to share about one of the most influential people in church history. This person was called by Jesus to share the gospel to people like us, Gentiles. Can anyone guess who I'm referring to right now? Paul, that's correct. In Romans verse 1, it says what? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul was not just any apostle. He was an apostle with a capital A. He was appointed by Jesus himself. Not by man, but by Jesus himself. And this afternoon, church, you know, I'm going to be sharing about his testimony and his transformation. And if you read in Acts 15 onwards and then into the epistles of Paul, you will see that Paul lived a very exciting life. But we're not going to be talking about his triumphs through Christ. Today, we're going to be talking about his transformation in Christ. I'm not just going to be talking about his physical blindness that he went through, but the spiritual blindness that he was in and how he overcame that through his testimony and his encounter with the risen King. Is that good? I want to share about how we ourselves as believers also go through this spiritual blindness as well. We think about spiritual blindness as something that, you know, new believers or non-believers aren't able to see. But I can tell you now, church, we as believers go through these blind spots as well. And I'll be sharing about my testimony. So when I talk about spiritual blindness, what am I referring to? It's the condition of which an individual is unable to see God or the message he has for us. It's the condition when someone is unable to see God or the message that he has for us. And this spiritual blindness occurs more often than not. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is this: I was blind, but now I see. So I got this from that song, you know, Amazing Grace. You know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm not going to sing it to you, church, because I can hear my wife speaking to me right now. You're talking about spiritual blindness, and you don't want to cause the congregation physical deafness. But before we go through that, right, before we can actually understand what Paul was transforming to, it's important to understand what he was transforming from. So who was Paul? Does anyone know what Paul was commonly referred to prior to him being known as Paul? He was known as Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus. And who was he? He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. And he knew the law inside out. In fact, he was taught by Gamaliel, a renowned rabbi and Jewish leader at the time. This is like being taught by Michelangelo teaching you how to sculpt, or Einstein teaching you how to, about physics. He knew the law inside out. And more so than that, Paul was very passionate. He was also very tenacious. In fact, anyone who went against his theological paradigms was considered punishable. And he actually spent his career and his time persecuting those who believed in the Son, those who believed in Christ. And this is where we start our sermon today. I want you to open up to me for Acts chapter 9. And we're going to follow through this scripture and we're going to hear Paul's testimony. Give everyone a bit of a moment. So let's read with me here. So verse 1:6 says what? Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, so the way meaning any who believed in Christ, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Wow. Who here would love to encounter Jesus in a bright, blinding light? Put your hands up right now. Yeah, a few? Do you think that happens that often nowadays? Yeah? Awesome, that's good. I think for me, like, I personally haven't had Jesus appear to me in a bright, blinding light just like that. But I can tell you the Spirit has come and prompted us in a lot more subtle ways than that in our life, right? And you know, last week we had Mark Godfrey come and share with us. And what he said is, as a community, for us to grow together, it's more than just being superficial at the front, saying hello, welcome, etc. It's important for us to be able to be vulnerable with each other as well. If we are able to grow in that relationship with him, it's important to also share our lives. So this morning, or this afternoon, church, I want to share with you about a testimony from my life as well. You know, it's been a number of years that I've struggled with one of my family members. You know, we haven't spoken that frequently, and we have been through many roller coasters, ups and downs, times of joy and times of pain as well. And we've been put through a lot of things that have been challenging for us as a family and to our extended family as well. And it got to a point where my heart was hardened. I wasn't able to see the goodness there. And it was hardened in such a way that I said to him, "That's it. This is my life. I have my own family. They need to live their own life. We cannot do this anymore," because it became such a vicious cycle that we were in. And then I got a call out of the blue. I haven't spoken to this person, this family member, for a while now. And then I got a call out of the blue. And someone told me they were in trouble and they needed help. And my first reaction to this is, what should I do? Like, I don't have to do anything. I've made it clear that this is their life, this is my life. We need to move on. I can't do anything in that situation. And then I hung up the phone, and what I did next was decide to call one of my friends. And I reflected on why I called my friend, right? Was it to share my woes? Was it to share how I was feeling? What I was actually doing was calling because I was chasing someone to confirm my position. I was calling someone to justify the way I was feeling. I'm sure none of you do that, right? This is what we call confirmation bias. So now, when you have an argument with a friend, or you're unhappy with your partner, or you have issues, I'm sure none of you go seek others to talk to who confirm your position and how you feeling was correct, right? And that's what I was doing. I was having this confirmation bias. And when I was calling my friend, what I was seeking for them was to say, "Yes, Sang, what you are feeling is okay. What you are feeling is right." But that wasn't what the truth that God wanted me to hear. And you know, when we go back to this verse, when we go back to the scripture, I can tell you now, Saul was already spiritually blind before Jesus came to him. Because what he was doing was living a life of spiritual blindness. He had his theological paradigms, right? He could not see the witnesses who saw the risen king. He could not see the believers who believed in the Son. He thought to himself, how could this Jesus be the Messiah? How could this Jesus be the Messiah? Because he died a death as a criminal, hung on a cross. How could this be the Son of God? And he hung around people who confirmed his position, right? Who did he hang around with? He hung around with other Pharisees who confirmed the way he was thinking as well. And this is the spiritual blindness that I'm talking about here. And you know what? With this confirmation bias, we can sometimes even read the Bible with that same bias as well. We can read the Bible, select verses that confirm how we feel. But I tell you now, thank God, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. The Word is inspired by the Spirit. You know, I love what Mary said, "Be unto me according to your word." We have the Spirit to guide us, to understand the revelations from his word as well. It's not something written by man, but it's through the Spirit. And this blindness may not even occur in arguments that you may have. There are non-truths, falsified things that our world tells us. You know, some of you might be feeling, well, I'm worthless. I'm not good enough. What I do in my work, I'm not successful as the people around me. I've studied so hard, but I don't know where I'm going. These are not the truths that God wants us to hear. Those things don't define who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. Those are the things that define us. Are you getting me, church? Those are the things that define us, who we are in him, our identity in him. So how do we overcome this spiritual blindness? How do we overcome that? Well, let's just read on. So 7 and 9, we're going to learn through Paul's testimony how we're going to overcome this. So then the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Wow. Do you always wonder, why did Jesus make Saul blind? Did anyone wonder why did Jesus make Saul blind? He could have just given him a revelation or told him something different. He made him blind for what reason? One, it was so that Saul would surrender his life to Jesus. You can imagine being blind for 3 days. How dependent you are on someone else. He wanted to tell Saul that you know nothing of me. He wanted the situation for him to be able to surrender all he had to Jesus. And how many days was he blinded for? 3 days, right? And we talk about numerology. We talk about numbers having significance. So the number 5 means what, church? Does anyone know? It means grace. 7 means what? Perfection means God. Well, 3 actually means completeness. When Jesus died on the cross and was buried, he was buried for 3 days before he rose. We have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the completeness that we see. And the 3 days enabled Saul to have that revelation of who Jesus is. The other significance of the number 3 is it demonstrates the power of God. It demonstrates his power as well. You know, for Saul to go on to his missionary journeys, he needed to know that Jesus was the authority, God was the authority over all things. So then when he goes through his trials and tribulations, he will know that he is able to rest in the Father who has all good things planned for him. Are you getting me, church? But I stand here right now and say to you, is it easy to surrender our lives? Do you think it's easy to surrender your life all the time? It isn't, right? You know, we go through those moments that's challenging. And, you know, I love it when, like, when you have someone that is struggling and they come to you with their problem and they say, you know, I'm struggling with work, I'm struggling with an issue, and our first Christian response is, just surrender your life. Just surrender your life, right? Just trust in him. And it is always easier said than done. And it reminds me of an interesting story. Just last year, actually, I went camping. And I went on a camping trip with the Tans, with Robert and Janice and the kids, and also the Laos, and also went with the Tans as well, Kelvin and Ev and their girls. And we were packing up for camping, and I brought a lot of stuff with me. It was probably more glamping than camping, because I had a lot of gear to pack away. So much so that I actually had to borrow a trailer off my cousin. So I borrowed this trailer. You can see how much stuff I actually brought with me. So that's my trailer there, or my cousin's trailer. And the trailer has a little adapter on there, right? And it didn't fit into my car. It was a little round 7-pin adapter, and I needed to buy the rectangular one. So I went to the shops and I bought the rectangular one, and I came back and I put it on the toolbox somewhere. And then I went ahead and packed everything for the camping trip the next day. So we went around, grabbed all the stuff, put it in the trailer ready to go. And then about 8 o'clock at night, I decided, well, you know, being safe and all, I better check that the adapter works and the lights will work on the car. So I went back to the toolbox and I could not find the adapter. I searched everywhere, right? I went back into the car, I went into the garage, and then I went into the 3 sheds that I have at home. Yes, church, I have 3 sheds. Whilst normal people tend to buy things and store it in the shed, I tend to buy large objects and then build my sheds around those objects. I know my wife has always prayed that I'm actually physically blind, so I'll stop looking on Marketplace. So please pray for that protection on that side. So I've got 3 sheds, and I searched all the sheds, and I could not find it. And I was pretty frustrated, right? And I'm sharing with you, I'm being vulnerable with you right now. I was pretty frustrated. And you know how I knew that my wife knew that I was frustrated as well? Well, my wife, for those that don't know, she doesn't like to get dirty, right? She likes to be clean and stuff. And she went outside with her pajamas 8 o'clock at night to help me look. That's how I know that she knew that I was so frustrated. And she had the torch and she was searching for it and we couldn't find it at all. So that night, I just resigned myself to, I'm going to have to just buy a new one the next day. So then I said to God, God, you know, help me find it. So I went to sleep that night. And that night I went to sleep, I actually had a dream. So my daughter Mia appeared to me in my dream and she goes, Daddy, Daddy, come follow me. So I followed her through the house, I followed her into the garage, and then she went to the trailer and said, Daddy, it's right there. It's right there. So I was like, wow. I woke up the next day. Guess what I did, church? Did I go to the trailer? No, I went to search through those 3 sheds again. Because I thought to myself, the sun is up. I can see now. Surely it will be there. I searched through the garage. I went into my car and I went into the 3 sheds looking for that adapter again. Because my worldly mind says, surely it could not be there. And then it got to a point where I said, nah, that's it. God, are you telling me something? So I went into the trailer, and you see I had a lot of stuff in that trailer, right? That's probably the other reason that I didn't want to go looking there. So I started shifting around, opened those things, and then after a few minutes, I heard a clunk. And then as I lifted this last sleeping bag out of the trailer, there was the adapter. So I grabbed the adapter. I was so excited about this, right? I ran upstairs. Anna was still sleeping, but I knew the kids were awake. I went into the room and I said, Mia, Mia, guess what? You know, you came to me in a dream last night and you helped Daddy find the adapter. And you know what she said? She turned around to me and said, yeah, that's because I'm so amazing. That's because I'm so amazing. But Kieran, he was quickly to retort. He said, you're not amazing. God is. And then Mia said, well, I'm his daughter, so I'm amazing too. Amen, church. I'm his daughter, so I'm amazing too. And this is what it means to surrender your life to him. Because we, as we get older, we let our own mindsets, our own knowledge construe what it means to surrender our lives to God. We let those things determine what we do. But it's like my daughter there, that childlike faith. Because she doesn't question those things. She claims those things in her life and understands her identity And I love my kids because I am still learning so much about God through them as well. And that's what I encourage you guys. When it's about surrendering, we got to let our mindsets go because we have a Father that can do the impossible, right? We did the unforgivable, but we were forgiven. He loved us first before we loved Him. And that's what it means to surrender our life to the Father. So the next point, to overcome spiritual blindness, more than just only surrendering our lives, it's about community and accountability. Because through the testimony, I want to share with you, it's not just us alone, journeying alone by ourselves. We have a community here that can help us through this. So let's continue. Turn to me to the next verse there. We're going on to 10:14. Still chapter 9 there. So in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street." I just reflected, this is very specific, right? It's like Google Maps. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call your name." And then 15:19. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer in my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled by the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Wow. So where did I left off in my testimony, church? I said, you know, I was looking for that confirmation. I was looking for that confirmation in my friend. And I was so angry and filled with such pain at the moment that I decided to reach out to him. And my friend here, Ezra's actually joined us here today. And I called up my friend Ezra. And I told him what had happened and the situation and how I was feeling. And the first thing he said to me was, "Wow, I wonder if they are okay. I wonder if they are okay. How are they doing? They must be in a bad way." I was like, "What are you talking about if they're okay? I'm not okay here, buddy. Why did I call you? You were meant to be my friend. You were meant to be confirming the way I was feeling, because I was feeling angry, right? I wanted you to say that I am justified in the way I was feeling. I was justified to be saying, 'Nah, I don't have to do anything.' But he asked me, 'Are they okay?'" And this was the truth that God wanted me to see. And I failed to see it, right? And I'm a slow learner, church. I am a bit of a slow learner. So I heard that from my friend. I felt that conviction. But I decided, nah, what does he know? He knows nothing, right? And I'm thank God that I have a God that is very patient, that has grace and love in my life as well. So I hung up the phone. I went away and I was thinking, what's going on here? And I was putting my son Kieran to bed. And that night I was putting my son Kieran to bed, and he was we were reading through devotions as well. And we were going through this dinosaur devotion at the time. So I'll show you this dinosaur devotion. All right. My eyes are actually quite bad, so I can't actually see that far on the back screen there. So it said this, Pegomastax. Can everyone read with me here? Because it's important as you grow older to pronounce dinosaur names. So Pegomastax, right? And it says here, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. And in big, bold text, it says, put away those bristles. And I've got the devotional book here. I'm just going to turn to the page and read out to you. So this is what I was reading out to my son that night. Have you ever worn bristles around your heart? You might put them there when you've been hurt by a friend or a loved one. Rather than let yourself get hurt again, you put up those protective quills. You might not even be aware that you're bristling, yet those imaginary bristles keep everybody out of your life and heart. It happens to all of us. But it's time to break free of those quills and let God into your heart. He can heal past hurts, and you can trust him. He won't ever hurt you, let you down, or leave you. He adores you, and the love is a forever kind of love that will help the bristles fall off and never grow back. Amen, church. Through this children's devotion, God was speaking through. Through my friend, Ezra, he was speaking through him as well. And that last point, I talked about community and accountability. These two things was that blinding light for me. I was in spiritual blindness, but I was not even aware. This is the story there, that testimony. Who was brought into Saul's life? It was Ananias, right? God called Ananias to minister to Paul. And do you think Ananias was, yes, great opportunity to really share with someone and jump on that boat straight away? No. What was his first reaction? Jesus, are you serious? This person here, Saul, was persecuting your people. He had the chief authorities back him up to come and take people from Damascus and take them back as prisoners. He questioned, what is going on? But when the Lord prompted, what did he do? He was obedient, right? He was obedient and he went to him. And when he went to Paul or Saul, what did he do? What did he say? Did he go there in a way to correct Paul? Did he say to him, you know, you're pretty lucky. Jesus is giving you a second chance. You persecuted his people, but you're lucky now that he's giving you a chance to redeem yourself. No, he came there with love. He said, Brother Saul, Jesus has called me to come to you to heal your sight. To heal your sight. He said this with so much love and compassion. Does anyone know what Ananias' name is in Hebrew? It means God's grace. So when the scales fell from Paul's or Saul's eyes, the first thing he saw was God's grace. This is the community that we have. This is the community that we need as well to overcome that spiritual blindness, is to have community and accountability. We have our life groups here. We have our friends. We have our community to keep us in check. But it's not always easy to do. We have those reservations, right? We sometimes don't know what to say. But I can tell you, Jesus will give you, God will give you the right words to say. The Spirit will move into your heart to say the right things when you are lost for words. I want to invite the worship team up here right now. We talk about those things, about surrendering our lives and about community and accountability. You imagine if Ananias never went there to Saul. How different would it be? I'm sure Jesus would have found another way, but he called Paul to come share the gospel to the Gentiles. We need Ananias in our lives. We need someone to be able to not just say yes when we are following the path and that straight path, but we need someone to also call us out when we are not following the path that God has wanted us to go on. We need someone to speak that truth in our life. And when we go forth in this afternoon, church, I want you to find that Ananias that can be that person that speaks into your own life. I'm so thankful for the friends that I have, for my 421 and for my life groups, because they are able to speak that truth and that life that uplifts me. And when you go, and if you are Ananias for someone, go there and speak, not with the heart of correction, but through that grace and love to see them uplifted and in truth of who he is. Are you getting me, church? This is what we need. This is the community that we need to overcome this spiritual blindness in our lives. We need people to understand and to help us remind us of who we are in him, of our identity of sons and daughters. You know, I feel right now with our congregation, there are things, blind spots in our lives right now that we don't realize. There are things that we might feel anger or hurt from a family member. We might have arguments with our friends. But our God forgave us. He wants us to have that ministry of reconciliation. You know, if my friend didn't speak into my life that night, I would never have stepped forward into that reconciliation with my family member. I wouldn't be able to have a relationship with them without that. And you can change the lives if you are just bold enough, like Ananias, just to speak courage and step forth into that boldness. Can we do that, church? Can we search for that person to be able to uplift? Can we ask someone to do that? And when you ask them, give them that permission. Because I say to you, it isn't easy. You know, when you speak into someone's life, you are worried about the friendships that you might lose. You might worry that they might get upset. But when you give them that permission, they know that when they speak into your life, that your relationship with them will always be protected. So I want to get you to stand up right now. I just want to pray over the congregation right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to really thank you for the word that you have given us this afternoon, church. We want to thank you for the things that you're going to do in our lives as well. We want you to find that right person in our circle of friends, in our community, that can be that Ananias for us, that can uplift us and speak that truth in our lives when we are blinded by the things of the world, by the way we feel and the way the world is telling us to feel. We pray that you bring those right people into our lives to speak that truth through the Spirit. And I pray that you give each and every one of us that courage as well to speak that truth into the lives of others. You have called us to be sons and daughters. When the world is suffering so much right now, we need that light to shine through your word. We need people to step out in that boldness, to stand up for the truth of what it means to be in you. when those that are feeling that they are worthless, that they are good, not good enough, we are here to say that you are. That those things of the world do not define who you are, but it is you that define who we are. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, church.